Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
The Bible is one of the most incredible books that has ever, I would say the most, I think I'm going to stand on that, the most incredible book that has ever been written. It is a compilation of books across centuries and generations that has stood the test of time, that has continued to stand, the best-selling book that has ever been or ever will be. I'm encouraged and excited by the fact that Bible sales have been on an upswing over the last several months, that more people are going out and purchasing Bibles and reading their Bible. I'm hoping that they're reading their Bibles after they're purchasing their Bibles. Because I do find that a lot of us are familiar with the Bible. Like, we know the Bible, but we don't know the Bible. And when you know the Bible, but you don't know the Bible, it's easy for people to tell you that the Bible says things that the Bible does not say. There are all kinds of these like colloquial terms that people sometimes attribute to Scripture that are not actually in Scripture. I've looked. I've double checked. Things like cleanliness is next to godliness. That's a nice idea. It's good to be clean. Jesus told this story about how if you clean the inside of a cup, then the outside will be clean. He was telling the Pharisees about how they worry so much about the outside that they don't remember to clean the inside. But he never said that cleanliness was next to godliness. Things like, this too shall pass. That's a nice idea. And there certainly is plenty of scripture that talks about the idea that these momentary trials or that these fleeting trials are small in comparison to what eternity we have awaiting us. But it never says in scripture that this too shall pass. What about this one? God helps those who help themselves. It's not in the Bible. If somebody told you it was, it's not there. Scripture has a lot to say about working with what we've been given. It has a lot to say about being responsible for ourselves and putting in a good effort. But the heart of the gospel is actually the fact that I could not help myself. And so Jesus came to help me anyway. It's important to know scripture, but what I love about how many people are familiar with scripture is that there come these verses, these scriptures that seem to rise to the top, that even if you would not consider yourself an avid studier of scripture, that you have probably heard a few of these verses. Verses like, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Scripture's like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Scripture's like, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Good scripture. That come to the top, scriptures that begin to just bury themselves in our hearts and our minds, that wrap themselves around us. And here's the thing that I love about familiar scriptures, is that if we don't allow ourselves to become too familiar with them, but if we devote them and commit them into our lives, I'm a big believer that just knowing a handful of scriptures can carry you through so many seasons. That just knowing a handful, oh, it's good to study them out and it's good to memorize as much as you can. But I would take somebody who has known a handful of scriptures and let them be written on the tablets of their heart over somebody who could quote Genesis to Revelation, but it has not permeated who they are. I want us to look at a familiar passage of scripture today and dig into it, because I think that it can carry you in some seasons. Psalms 23, if you have a Bible with you and you want to turn to it so we can read it together, I'm going to read today from the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. If you're looking for a version, I like to say find a version that makes sense to you and that you will read. I like the CSB because I think it is an excellent cross of getting close to the original language and its readability. It's what I've been reading over the last little bit. If you are in search, today we're reading Psalm 23. Psalm 23 goes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live." Come on, that's a good passage of scripture right there. David wrote a psalm and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." I don't know a lot about shepherds, really. I certainly don't have a lot of experience being a shepherd. I have spent very little actual time around sheep in my life. My husband, however, was born in New Zealand. New Zealand is this teeny tiny country all the way at the bottom of the world. It takes forever and a day to get there if you're ever trying to go. But it is beautiful once you arrive. It is rolling green hills everywhere. And the most well-known fact about New Zealand, besides the fact that The Lord of the Rings was filmed there, is that there are more sheep than people in New Zealand. It is filled with sheep. One time I went with my husband and my brother and sister-in-law, and we went golfing while we were in New Zealand. And if you go golfing while you are in the beautiful country of New Zealand, you are guaranteed to have sheep wandering around on the golf course with you. So as if my game is not bad enough, now I'm also playing dodge the sheep as I'm trying to putt on the green. It is a crazy experience. But what I have come to learn is that I think almost everyone who was born in New Zealand can trace their family lineage back to shepherds somewhere. And in true course, my husband's grandparents and great-grandparents were shepherds. I have for you today. Original shearers all the way from New Zealand. These were used in 18-something or another to shear. They have real sheep wool that has been cut with these bad boys right here. Because if you are a shepherd, your primary role is to care for the sheep. It is the role of shepherds everywhere, from New Zealand to America to the Middle East, to care for their sheep. And these shears were used to care for a sheep, to watch out for the sheep, because the shepherd does more than just look at the sheep, and the shepherd does more than just wander with the sheep. The shepherd's role is to care for the sheep. And David starts out his psalm and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. All shepherds are not created equal. All shepherds are not the same. You can't just pick any old shepherd and expect the same outcome on the other side. David is starting off his psalm and saying, I have a shepherd that looks out for me, and it is the Lord, that Yahweh is my shepherd. And because Yahweh is my shepherd, I have what I need. It is a direct result of the fact that I follow the Lord as my shepherd that David can then say, and because of that, I know that I have what I need. That everything I need is here because I'm with the shepherd. That everything that I might need in my life is taken care of because I'm with the shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, everything that I need, I have. And this line can be translated in a few ways. Probably the more familiar version to you is, I shall not want. I shall not want for anything because the Lord is my shepherd. But I like the translation that I have what I need. Because when you think about the fact that I have what I need, it's not just saying that I've become content with not having. It's not just saying that I've chosen not to want for more than what I have right now. It's not just saying that I'm learning to discipline my wants and my desires. It's saying because I'm with the shepherd, when I look around me, I have no need for want because I already have what I need. This is David's thesis statement for the rest of this psalm, that I have what I need. And he's going to walk us through line on line. He's going to walk us through piece on piece, that because the Lord is my shepherd, I have what I need. Goes into the next part and he says, he takes me in green pastures and beside quiet waters, and he restores my life, because when the Lord is my shepherd, I have what my soul needs. My soul is filled and my soul is cared for. My soul is provided for. My soul is protected. My soul is guided because the Lord is my shepherd. Souls need places of rest. Souls need places of refilling. Souls need places to be restored once again. That inner seat of who you are, that bed of your personality, that intricate part that makes you who you are, it needs to be well cared for. It needs to be well filled. It needs quiet places of restoring water where the Lord comes and ministers to your soul. And David starts off, and everything else flows out of this first point. He says, the Lord is my shepherd and my soul has what it needs. And he says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I have directional needs that are met because the Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd would take the sheep out and would guide them and lead them and direct them into the paths that led to where green pastures were, would lead them and guide them along the paths where they would be safe and secure, would lead them and guide them away from places where they were most likely to be attacked or where they were most likely to fall off of a cliff. The shepherd had the role and the responsibility to give direction to the sheep and make sure that they were cared for. I think one of the greatest prayers in my life continually is, God, what is the next step? God, what do you want me to do from here? I don't know if you've ever had that feeling, but it's like work things start moving and changing, and I found out that this company bought out my company, and now I'm not sure, should I stay, should I go, should I move, should we be here, should we be somewhere else? I'm trying to figure out what school my kids are supposed to be at, and I don't know, because this one has this thing, but that one has that thing, and it feels like the decisions I'm making now have replications happens for years down the road. And God, I just need to know which way it is that I'm supposed to go. And it can be so heavy and it can feel so worrisome. But David, when he wrote his psalm, said, I don't worry about which way that I'm going as long as I'm following the shepherd. Because when the Lord is my shepherd, then he leads me in his paths of righteousness, that he leads me in the right path. He leads me in the way that I should go. He walks with me on the path that I should go in. That yes, there may seem times where I'm uncertain, and yes, there may seem times, but I lean on my confidence that I'm following the shepherd. I lean in the confidence that as long as the Lord is my shepherd, that I don't have to want for anything, including direction. I already have what I need. I already have access to direction into the next path and into the next place because the Lord is my shepherd. And I don't need direction because my directional needs are met. Then it says that he walks, that even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. My emotional needs are met when the Lord is my shepherd. Though there might be reason for fear, I don't have to give in to fear. Though there might be reason for anxiety, I don't have to give in to anxiety. Though there may be reason for me to feel a weight and a swell and a wave of emotions, I don't have to become overcome by those emotions because his comfort is right there with me in the midst of the difficult place. His comfort is right there with me in the darkest moment of my life, in the darkest seasons of my life, when I'm walking through those valleys that I say, God, how did I even get to this place right here? When I'm walking through those dark moments and those dark seasons of the soul, when I'm walking through those times where I say, God, it feels like everything is breaking and it feels like everything is shaking. It feels like darkness wants to overcome me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be unstable. I don't have to be insecure. I don't have to be tossed around by it. I don't have to be overcome or overthrown by it because my emotional needs are met. Comfort is right there with me in the midst of it because the Lord is my shepherd and he carries with him a rod to beat off those who would try to attack me, and he carries with him a hook to bring me back in close to him when I wander too far. There is comfort in knowing that the Lord is with me in the midst of my darkest moment and in the midst of my darkest season. My emotional needs are met when I walk with the good shepherd. Something really interesting happens at this point in the psalm. You have to read it all the way through to notice it. But before this moment, David talks about God. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. After this, he talks to God. You prepare a table before me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There's something that happens in that valley moment. There's something that changes in the way that David sees God. There's something that happens in the way that David relates to God that begins to shift, that begins to change, not when he's on the top of the mountain, not when he's laying beside the quiet waters. There's something that moves in David's relationship with God. There's something that moves moves in your relationship with God when you walk through those valley moments with God, when you walk through the darkest valley, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's something about who God is that I didn't know about who God was until I walked through a valley season with God, until I looked around and I said, it feels like darkness wants to overcome me. It feels like death is crouching at my door. It feels like everything around me is shaken. It feels like I've reached the bottom and I can't go any lower. I'm all the way at the bottom of this valley. I'm all the way at the bottom of where I started. What happened to the green pastures that I was walking in? What happened to the quiet waters that you were leading me in? What happened to your paths of righteousness? I can't find them and I don't know where they went, but I found myself in the darkest valley. But here's the thing about when I found myself in the darkest valley. When I found myself in the darkest valley, I went from just talking about who God was, and I went from just knowing that he was somebody, and he became my shepherd. I started talking to God, and I said, God, you are here with me in this midst. God, you are here with me in this valley. God, you watch over me. You bring me comfort. You are with me in the midst of it. Can I tell you that I think some of us are missing what God is trying to do in your life? You're missing access to a deeper relationship with who he is because we're so afraid of the valley. We're avoiding the valley with everything that we've got because I just want to hang out in the quiet waters, and I just want to hang out where everything seems easy, and I just want to be where the sun shines down on me, and I get it, and I hope that most of your life gets lived there. But you will miss out on an encounter with God if you keep sidestepping the valley. Sometimes he needs to take you right through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes he's trying to walk you through the darkest place and the darkest space to prove to you that he's right there with you in the midst of it, to show you how good he is even in the middle of it, to remind you that even in the darkest valley, you don't have to fear any evil because God is there with you. And when you come out on the other side of that valley, he's no longer just God out there. He's God in here. He's my shepherd. He's who I talk to. When you come out of the darkest valley, he's not just a God I talk about. He's a God I talk to. My God, who walks with me in the darkest valley, because he supplies all of my needs. I have what I need. Then he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows and you anoint my head with oil. Reminds us that my physical needs are met. My physical needs are met because the Lord is my shepherd. He puts food on a table and he fills a cup to overflowing. He takes the oil and he anoints it. Oil had two purposes. It guarded from things like flies and gnats and pestilences that would get into and infect the sheep. And it also caused healing. And cuts and scrapes and bruises, they would apply the oil to begin to bring healing. That healing is there when the Lord is your shepherd. That my physical needs are met because the Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. And then it says, your goodness and your mercy, or your faithful love, will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord for all of my life. My eternal needs are met. My eternal needs are met because the Lord is my shepherd. when sheep would get lost and they would go off astray, the shepherd would pursue them. The shepherd would go after them and retrieve them from the place they had gotten lost in, from the place they had wandered to, and bring them back into the safety of the flock. When David's writing this psalm, he says it's God's goodness. It's God's faithful love. That's what it is that runs after me, that pursues me, that comes to find me. Though I've wandered, though I've gotten lost, though I've become disconnected from the place of safety and the place of security, it's His goodness that came after me. It's His faithfulness that came and pursued me. God came running after me, and He came to find me, to bring me back in, because I have a shepherd who watches over me. And then He makes a proclamation that because I have what I need, and because the Lord is my shepherd, that all the days of my life you'll find me dwelling in His house. You'll find me amongst His people. You'll find me amongst His presence. You'll find me in His house, that nothing can shake me from this place, that nothing can pull me from His place, that nothing can remove me from His presence, because I have decided that the Lord is my shepherd. I love that David buffets it with the soul needs being met and the eternal needs being met. That what goes on the inside of me is covered because the Lord is my shepherd and I have what I need. And my eternal needs are met because the Lord is my shepherd and I have what I need. Because what does the rest of the in-between even matter? If my soul is a mess and if my eternity is uncertain, what does it matter that a table's prepared before me? What does it matter what direction I walk in or where I go if when I arrive, my soul is a disaster and my soul is in turmoil? But David says, at the top, you settle my soul, God. And he caps it and he says, my eternity is settled because I find myself in you, because I've chosen to follow. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. In John 10 and 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus would have been a studier of this Old Testament scripture. The audience he was speaking to would have been as familiar, if not more than we are, with David's psalm that said, the Lord is my shepherd. And when Jesus comes, he says, hey, that shepherd that David was referring to, the shepherd that has everything that you need, the shepherd that watches out, the shepherd that supplies every need that you have, the shepherd that walks with you in dark seasons, that shepherd right there, I am that good shepherd. I am that good shepherd that came to walk with you in right paths. And the thing about a good shepherd is the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus, of course, laid down his life for us. He became the eternal sacrifice, hanging on the cross and being put in the grave, but raising up, reminding us that even the darkest valley cannot hold him. Even the valley of the shadow of death could not overcome him, because he is the one who came to defeat death, sin, hell, and the grave. That he rose back up again. That he is the good shepherd. I don't worry about what I need, because I know that I'm following the good shepherd. I look around me and I say, I have what I need because I'm with the shepherd. I have everything that I need because the shepherd is here, and I trust in the shepherd. I have everything that I need because I know that the shepherd will provide for me. I have everything that I need because I know that the shepherd will guide me in right paths. I have everything that I need because I know that the shepherd will protect me from whatever may come. I have everything that I need because I know that I am eternally sound because I'm with the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and I have what I need. And I have what I need. I have what I need because I'm with the shepherd. I want you to stand with me. We're almost done here today. I have two prayers I want to pray today. The first is that there are some of us who would say, I know of the shepherd, but I don't know that I am with the shepherd. I'm familiar with who God is, but I don't know that I could say that I'm following along with Jesus, that I have not committed my life to being a follower of Jesus, and I haven't asked him to enter into my life and into my heart. And before we leave today, I want to create that moment for you to say, I'm making a declaration today that the Lord is my shepherd. If that's you and today's your day to say yes to Jesus, to say the Lord is my shepherd, I just want you to slide your hand straight in the air, putting your hand straight up. I see you, sir. Go ahead and leave it up. Hands are going up around the room. I see you guys up there. I see you in the back, ma'am. Hands are going up saying that I am making a declaration today. I see you, love, that the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. 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 Church, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me and with them, more importantly. Say, God, I come to you today in Jesus' name. And I know I don't have everything right. And I know that I need you. But starting today, I'm letting go of a life led by me. And I'm taking hold of a life led by you. I believe in you, Jesus. In your life, in your death, in your burial, and in your resurrection. Holy Spirit, help me follow you for all the days of my life. Amen. 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 Come on, church. You can celebrate those people who said yes to Jesus today. I want to pray for one more group of people. And that is, I want to pray for people who are saying today, I know the Lord is my shepherd, but I haven't been trusting in him. I've been trusting in my own strength. I've been worrying about the path. I've been worrying about the direction. And I just want to pray over you today that you would find a fresh trust, a fresh reminder that you have what you need. If that's you, will you just lift both hands in the air as I pray this prayer over you, declaring over you that you have what you need. You have what you need. Come on. God, I thank you that you are our good shepherd. I thank you that you are the one who supplies every need that we have, that we put our trust in you and we put our hope in you, that we put our faith in you, that we rely on you. God, I just declare over these people right now that you would remind them that they have what they need because they have you with them, God, that they have no need for fear, that they have no need for uncertainty, that they have no need for worry or to be distracted to the right or to the left, but that you are their good shepherd. Come on, will you say, the Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. I have what I need. I have what I need. And we make that our declaration, God, that we know that we have what we need. Amen. 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 Church, come on.